Food Podcast. You're joining us again today for a very, very special episode. My name is Jamie Mon. I'm your host today. I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, Mickey McLeod. Mickey, today is our 30th episode. We are very excited to celebrate. I brought a very, very delicious wine for us to drink.
Well, hold on a second.
You spilled half of it. I
spilled half of it, but when have you ever said I'm going to be your host today? That's so weird. I will own up to it. Yes, this is the Tracking Food Podcast.
Am I overthinking that?
No, it's, I just never heard you say it before. But like you said, it's our 30th episode.
And I am
so
the host.
Very special.
And
well,
I
you
the
are
host.
The host. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm the co-host.
Yeah, exactly. See, there you
and
go.
I did spill the wine for people listening. Jamie brought...
Well, it's our 30th episode.
It's 30th episode.
I want to bring a wine for us.
Yes.
That was going to be special. I bought this past week. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to this wine a little while ago when I went to the Top Drop tasting when we...
Yes.
You know, we had Curtis Colt on recently. If you haven't had a chance to check out that episode, we talked about his festival that he has done with Jeff Curry. And when I went there, I went to a private kind of Riesling tasting, a Cascadian Riesling tasting, and I was able to try this lovely Riesling from Synchromesh, which is from Okanagan Falls. And so I'd never bought it per se. I tried it before, but so I went out and bought a bottle of it. Anyways, I'm very excited to drink some lovely Riesling with you today. This is a low pH wine, and it's got some, it's not very high in alcohol. It's only like 8.7% alcohol.
Yeah, but there's mad acidity.
Yeah, it's delicious. That's a great thing.
Smacky.
That's one of the great things about Riesling is Riesling can be styles of wine like this where you can have something that's super low in acid with a ton of residual sugar, but also because of the pH, this wine doesn't taste very sweet. I mean, it is off dry, but it doesn't come across as like, oh my God, like something that's 8%, like a late harvest wine or a nice wine. And it's refreshing, and it's very just mouth watering. It's a great wine for this type of weather that we're actually experiencing today. So it's a lovely June day.
Am I going to be tested on this, by the way? You just said a whole lot of stuff.
No, not at all. But it's,
hold on, let's backtrack. Just for people listening, Jamie brought this fantastic, lovely wine. Obviously, it's episode 30. I want to do something special. And right before we started recording, I totally biffed it and spilled almost an entire... I spilled 90% of the glass on the floor and had to wipe it up with a towel. It was traumatizing for both of us. And I apologize to you, sir. But pour one out for the homies, I guess.
It wasn't traumatizing for you. It was traumatizing for me.
For
I was just like,
was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Jamie lost his shit. But I think we're past it now. We're good. We're moving on. So... So, won't happen again, I promise.
Yes.
Tristan, if you're listening, I pulled a Tristan. Just want to say that.
Okay. There we go. We're very excited to have this episode today. As you may have, or I guess as you're noticing right now, today's episode is just going to be Mickey and I. We're going to be kind of talking about some things that I want to discuss about the evolution of this podcast, our new website that we're launching right now, some current events, talk about the year. I wrote an article at the beginning of the year talking about the state of Vancouver dining at the beginning of 2019. It has now been 6 months into the year. I kind of wanted to kind of revisit that idea, talk about maybe how some things have changed, where I see the city, where we both maybe see the city evolving. Yeah, it's pretty good, huh? Yeah, it's Mickey's making a really good...
Sorry, I just had a sip of this wine. It's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
But anybody, it's like the Tantalus Riesling times fucking 10.
Yeah. Well, Tantalus makes their old vines Riesling is pretty awesome, but this one is pretty amazing. This is like, I love this wine. Anyways, so we're going to be talking about some stuff like that and rehashing a couple things and also obviously talking about our new website venture, Midrange.
So what you're saying is this is going to be a straight promotional episode for all the stuff we're doing.
Kind of.
Strap in, listener.
Yeah, this is our ego. This is our ego episode.
But no, we're going to talk about other stuff. We're also going to talk about previous episodes and our favorite moments. So it's going to be kind of like a little sort of, and you know when the sitcoms do those clip shows and it's just all old clips of like previous shows?
Yeah, we're not going to do that entirely. Parts. Like there's going to be some new stuff there as well. So this is going to be kind of like our homage to Bill Simmons and... Ryan Russillo podcast where the two idiots just kind of go off and talk about random shit all the time.
Yeah, well, I think we kind of do that most of the time. And if you're listening to this episode, listen to the previous episode, Sam Payne from fucking Parkside Brewing. And we went off on some tangents as well there, which I think that's kind of our MO.
Yeah, anyways, we have to give them a shout out today because the episode went live.
Yes, we'll get to the shout outs. Absolutely.
Well, the episode went live yesterday and we want to shout out to them. We want to shout out to Sam Payne.
Probably a week and a half ago.
Yeah, a week and a half ago, I guess. Yeah.
As of this recording.
And he, we loved that episode. He was a great chat, even though I got kind of, my eyes kind of rolled a little bit when he went off and said that he would take Steph Curry over Michael Jordan, which was kind of
debatable.
Weird.
Debatable for sure.
Fuck off.
Time will tell. Well, yeah, I mean, like, what do you do? Like, the greatest basketball player of all time, the most successful basketball player of all time.
Yeah,
well, not like, the most successful.
I wrote a column
modern
saying
era.
I wrote a column saying that Steph Curry is probably in the top 15 for sure. I put him 14th right now. I mean, who knows? I mean,
well, if they flip this series on its head and come back and win, and Steph Curry averages 40 points for the next three games,
who knows?
Possible. That's four titles.
But the problem is by the time this episode comes out, the NBA Finals is going to be done. So it doesn't
Let's stop like doing current eventy type comments, and let's just get into the actual content of the show.
Okay, so
let's do this. Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah,
30th episode.
30th episode.
Fantastic.
One of the first things I wanted to kind of bring up to you is, I think anybody out there who thinks about the idea of doing podcasts and where they're going, I think the medium itself is really kind of evolving.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who wants to become, you know, is working in the journalism field, writing for Scout, we're doing stuff here. I've been doing writing for Track and Food. When we launched this podcast, I mean, I'd been listening to podcasts for over 10 years. The idea of the podcast as where it is, the medium, I think a lot of people nowadays use, it's a growing sphere. It's massive. Things are going in that direction. I mean, you're starting to see authors, prominent authors, really starting to move into the sphere. And instead of writing a new book, they're doing podcast series. Michael Lewis is a great example of that right now with his new podcast series, Against the Rules. Obviously, Malcolm Gladwell entered in the sphere a couple years ago with his great podcast, Revisionist History. You're seeing the success of the podcasting world really take hold because it is a very exciting medium in the sense that you can convey a ton of information in a short amount of time versus an article where sometimes people don't always have the time to sit and digest. And so my curiosity to ask you is, as we've tried to emerge and take this podcast in now our 30th episode and interview people and talk and engage, what are some of the things you've found most enlightening about kind of this podcast and this series that we've been doing and kind of like the people that we've met? And do you feel like for the listeners out there, do you feel like, where do you see this going? Like, which I think is super interesting.
Are you asking the listener or asking me?
I think I'm asking both, maybe. I don't know where I'm going.
Well, so it's interesting. You are correct. I think you hit the nail on the head there. What I will say about podcasting, it's been an interesting journey for sure. We're about a year and a half in. I think personally it's getting information, but it's getting like unfiltered, unedited information, right? So if you're listening to a podcast, you're getting like the opinion of the person.
It is edited
without
though.
Any. No, it's edited, but not edited what's the word I'm looking for? It's not filtered through, you know, the powers that be, or filtered through an executive at a newspaper or something.
Would
like
you
that.
Have said that? Would you have said, now that we've been doing this for a year and a half, would you have said this has been a harder experience or a lot easier experience for us to have done this? Because I think this has been very labor intensive, but a very enjoyable experience in the sense that it's been very exciting to meet new people and kind of explore what other people are doing in the city and some of the great things and talk about things and kind of learn kind of like there's a ton of great people out there who are doing some great work. And it's really just kind of fun to have great conversations with them. But the medium itself is kind of interesting in the sense that like it provides you with that platform. But then I think it's been really fun to see that, but then it's also interesting. It's interesting to see how, if you talk about restaurants, one of the hardest things for a restaurant to do is just to get people in the door. You know, we see restaurants that are very successful and some that aren't. And I think as we're going to eventually talk about with the state of the industry, it's fascinating to see what people gravitate towards, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, let me go back and answer the questions you originally answered. yes, I think podcasts are here to stay. They're not going away. It's a medium that people connect with almost instantaneously because you're getting, you know, even though we do edit our show, it's only like stuff when we, you know, stumble, which fucking happens all the time, or when we say something that maybe we don't really want out there in the realm of open listenership. Maybe misspeak on something or pronounce someone's name wrong. So that's the kind of editing we do. But in terms of like the information and opinion, it's like unfiltered, uncut opinion, right? And I think that's what people gravitate towards with podcasts. Now, I will say that what has really not pleased me, but like something I wasn't really prepared for was just the response of our community here in Vancouver and people who have been listening to not only our show, but other shows, other local Vancouver podcasts, and just the positive feedback we've gotten. And of course, getting to know all of the industry people we have over the course of the last year and a half, I would have never met these people probably. So it's been, for me personally, a lot of information and doors opened and making me kind of fall in love with hospitality again, because I've kind of considered myself to be sort of a armchair bartender, you know, cocktail guy, but not really sort of invested in sort of the fabric of the culture of hospitality in Vancouver. It's kind of made me sort of like rethink that and kind of like made me sort of get back in the swimming pool a little bit with that. So, and personally, myself personally, like I'm a very like, you know me, I'm very like recluse and very, okay, I spend a lot of time at home. I don't really go out that much. I'm not really on social media that much. So for me personally, I think it's been actually a little bit therapeutic in a way. Not only doing this show, but doing Beats on Repeat, kind of getting me out of my comfort zone a little bit. So those were things I was a little weary of starting, but then now, since we're sort of kind of like, we've gained our steam, or we've sort of been rolling nicely, it's kind of made me think that it's been a good thing for me, like in terms of like me personally and how I sort of, you know, shy away from being in the spotlight, sort of, so to speak. So those would be my answers to your questions on those things. So it's been a great experience, super positive, super fun. I've had a great time.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
The one thing I've kind of gleaned from us doing this, and I kind of definitely agree with everything you said there, is especially for coming from your perspective.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely a lot more of an extrovert in the sense that I like to
be. You're a social butterfly, Jamie.
Probably, I guess so. But I definitely liked the, I love the industry. I love visiting new restaurants. I love being a part of the industry. I love meeting new restaurateurs and finding and talking to new bartenders and servers and people that run great breweries and winemakers. And
yeah.
I'm very curious to learn what they do and why they do it. And I'm really curious to meet the people around that. And I think the podcast is a great way to do that. But we had a really good, interesting part when we talked to Sam Payne on our last episode, when I brought up the idea that breweries have now become kind of like the coffee shops of the afternoon and the nighttime for people, you know, like they're like a breeding ground for social activity and social inclusion, social community. And I think what's unique about this medium and what we are trying to attempt to do is that in a way it can kind of bridge that kind of gap in a different way, because you get more personal interactions, you get more bringing people on, like when bringing on someone like Sam or bringing on Nick Black from Strangefellows, or when we had a great conversation with Sean Layton from Como, or even Max Borman and Mike Shum from the, you know, from Juniper, and
shout outs
to all those gentlemen, or Tracy, who's now working at Monte Cristo. She's totally working there.
Okay.
But it's great to kind of like, it's like, in a way, it's kind of like building a spider web where you're kind of putting your fingers out there and you're kind of connecting to so much stuff that's going on and seeing all these great individuals putting out great work and doing and being very passionate about a lot of the things they do. And
right, because if you think about it, where other, aside from the medium of podcasting, where else would you be able to promote? You know, it would be in print or it'd be on social media, right?
Yeah.
So I think, like, getting back to your earlier point, podcasting allows people who are in our community to sort of, you know, find out what each other is doing and like piggyback on that and maybe like think of new ideas to do something. So I think it's really cool that we're able to do this, but then also hopefully inspiring other people to do certain similar things. And I know there are other podcasts in the city doing this stuff. So I don't want us to like come off as sounding like we're doing this fucking amazing thing and we're so awesome. But the byproduct of us doing this has been sort of digging roots more into the community and being more community focused, which is something that breweries do, as you mentioned, with communal seating and just like talking to people and like having conversations. So that's really important, I think, especially in the society we live in today, for people to connect and feel connected and like, you know, share stories and kind of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
we're sounding like really gaudy right now.
No, not at all. I don't think that's not the point. That's not what we're trying to get here. I'm not trying to do any of that where we're trying to toe to our own horn.
I'm not at all. I'm teasing you, Jamie. I'm teasing you.
Well, okay, fair enough. I think the idea is just really interesting to connect with people. And I think that's been the funnest part for this whole endeavor that we've been doing, is just like been able to meet people like, and
well, I personally would have never met personally, like, you know, a lot of people and, you know, for people listening, let's just not get it twisted. Jamie produces probably 95% of the hosts on the show. And I'm kind of just here for comic relief. I think Pedro was mine. And then, Bruce Nolan, shout out Bruce, if you're listening. But for me personally, I would never have met these people. I'm confident to say I would never have met these people if I wasn't doing this podcast with
you. What's been the most, what's of all the people that we've had on, what's the one thing that you've learned the most? Like, what's something you've learned?
Well, I steal all of everyone's ideas and information and regurgitate it as my own. So that's fun, especially when I'm bartending, all the tasting notes I can spew out. No, you know, for me personally, my having, you know, it's hard to sort of single out one guest or one scenario because everyone's been amazing. But for me personally, and I've had this conversation with Tracy, to have Sean Layton on, and people listening, Sean Layton co-owns and operates Como on Main Street, which is a Spanish tapas place. Just to have him on talking about, because I had never met Sean, to have him on talking about his love of that Spanish style tapas bar environment, and how he became to love it, and then his plans to execute it, and how, and to see that turn into Como being like the hottest place in Vancouver, and it still is considered to be like one of the hottest places in Vancouver, to me was like kind of like made me think like, holy shit, like it's really cool to go through that journey with him, and to see it actually come to fruition for me was like, wow, that's fucking so cool that we were able to, you know, like pick his brain about everything that, like, to open a business, especially Vancouver, is takes fucking big balls and like planning and fucking finance and all this shit. So like, and it's scary as hell. Like, I would never open a business. We talk about that on the show all the time. I would never open a restaurant again. So for to sit with him and him, plus his thought process of how he's going to do it and to execute it, and then to see where it is now, was just really, really fucking cool for me personally. If I had to, like, you know, pick one thing that kind of stands out.
No, and I think what you're saying is amazing. I think in that sense, when you, cause I mean, like, if we, because like part of like, if we were going to kind of go further ahead here when what we're going to talk about today is like, when I wrote that piece at the beginning of the year talking about like kind of, I was reflecting on like, if you were to be someone, sit down and just kind of like take a snapshot of where the culture of dining in Vancouver, and, you know, you even go globally, like where things are moving at the beginning of 2019, and then kind of see where things have kind of evolved over the last 6 months. Speaking with someone like Sean Layton is a great example of the optimism and the possibilities of what people are expecting, what people are looking for. I think what they do there is fantastic. It's a very lively, engaging atmosphere. It's fun. They produce some awesome food. They have such a great bar program there. I mean, anytime I can get
it's
a
50 bamboo. Oh my God.
Anytime I can
or
get
a 50-50.
Yeah, 50-50 is amazing. The 50-50 martini, like stuff like that. And just, you know, getting sherry on tap. It's just, they're being really engaging and exciting and doing some great work out there.
even Bruce and TJ with Chefs in the Hood, just like being able to sort of have a window into these people who are taking huge risks with their lives and their families and their financial well-being has been very inspiring, to say the least. You know, and obviously, you know, we just had Sam on and Parkside. Like, it's just really cool to be able to share their sort of visions and moments with them and everyone and their projects that they're doing in the city. Because really, what we're trying to do is promote Vancouver because we fucking love the city. Well, we hate it and we also love it. But
oh no,
we live here.
There's plenty of things I hate about it too. Like, I'm not gonna.
I know. Go back to our first episode. Was it the first episode? We shit on Granville Island? I can't remember.
Yeah, well,
episode number two, maybe.
Granville Island. Well, pretty much a lot of things on Granville Island that kind of suck. It's like the toilet of Vancouver.
Yeah. We'll get into hot takes at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because I was actually, when we were prepping for this episode, I was kind of just doing some reading and everything.
You're prepping for this episode?
Yeah.
I didn't prep at all. Sorry.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. All you did today was fucking spill wine.
Yeah, that's true.
But in kind of looking at things, one of the things that I found very fascinating is like Vancouver Magazine, which I think has been a pretty shit publication for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to shit on what the people that work there. I think sometimes they get hampered by the realities of running a print magazine and trying to have to push certain works out there. However, and I've never been a big fan of what they do for the Vancouver Magazine Awards, because I just think it's not a very good reflection of what's going on in the city sometimes.
Right.
But I do respect Noah Klein a lot, and I've met him, and I think he's a really nice guy. And going on their website recently has been actually a nice thing to see, because they're actually starting to put out some really good work. Mm-hmm. And I saw something on there recently. They just did this huge thing on, like, is Donnelly still good for Vancouver? And Donnelly just celebrated their 20th anniversary in Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah.
When I think Jeff Donnelly bought Bimini in 1999. And I read it, it was really cool, because it was just basically a long dialogue between all the people that work there. Mm-hmm. And seeing stuff like that and reading that, I was just like, kind of like, okay, this is kind of interesting, because it's kind of something that I would be interested in kind of learning and talking about, because I think a lot of people in the city would probably be in favor of the things that Donnelly brings. I mean, they definitely bring
sure,
up.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, there's a lot of things that I think can be really frustrating about what Donnelly does.
Well, they kind of invented the college bar.
Definitely. Well, I mean, Colony right
or
now.
Or they helped cultivate it.
Colony
anyways.
Right now is like definitely starting to kind of rip off their whole scene and kind of do something very similar.
Yeah, but Colony's dope, because Colony at least has...
They have a good beer program.
Their beer program is fantastic. Yeah,
and they just opened a new space up on Granville Street, which took...
Yeah, and they have happy hour. You can get a fucking Boneyard Brewing, for they're from I think Bend or Portland. I've seen Boneyard there on special for $4.50 for a 12-ounce glass. They just get these like awesome exclusive, not just on Portland, but all local breweries as well. Like Parkside's there, you know, Brass Neck. They have tons of local great craft beer.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They're super cheap. Yeah. At their happy hour. And I don't know of any other place that's doing it for that price point. So kudos to them. I don't know how their food is, but their model is great.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then you see stuff like that and you're like, okay, that's kind of cool. But like when I liked how... I liked how they were not afraid to kind of do something like that, where like I saw that with Vancouver Magazine. But it's just kind of interesting to see that other people are really starting to kind of think that.
Like local, you mean?
Local, but yeah. I think it's kind of like what we're trying to achieve here with the podcast is like, yes, we're trying to promote some great brands and some great companies and people that we like and people that we're really impressed to talk to and kind of learn their stories. But at the end of the day, you want to understand that, like, not everything is, you know, you have to be very critical in certain things too as well.
Right.
You know, and, you know, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Alexandra Gill and a lot of things she does and stuff like that. But...
Wow. Shots fired.
No. Well, maybe. Fuck, I don't care. So I think the role of the food critic is pretty much a fucking wasted piece of time. You know, no one reads it anyways.
Yeah. Reference Andrew Morrison's episode.
Yeah, and I, you know, but...
and also Dan's.
Yeah, but I liked what you said there. I liked what you said about the episodes. And I think if I was to come away with anything that we've learned mostly from doing this, is that there's a lot of things out there that we don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think hearing other people's ambitions and the things they do, I mean, especially like even just talking to like a prime example, like with Sam, or even when we were talking with Curtis, I was very curious on how you do something, what they do. How do you get a great wine festival off the ground and make it into something where people are really excited about it? How do you build a brewery? And I mean, him coming out and being very honest and saying that, you know, until the day of, I still had forgotten to get a business license, because I'm like, wow, that's something I would completely do. So it's very nice to hear those stories. It's very nice to hear people be very honest. And I hope for all of you listeners out there that, you know, you are hopefully joining us on this ride. I think this has been very exciting for us. We're very excited to take this podcast and keep bringing some great guests on and maybe hopefully some bigger guests. But yeah, I was kind of curious to hear your story. And
Jamie's getting a little introspective at this moment. Well, I'll piggyback on that and say that people are fucking passionate, man. Yeah, we live in Vancouver. We live in the world. We're humans. And people are passionate about stuff they like. And it's really, you know, I already said the word inspiring, but it's really cool to you know, get people's stories, like you said. But, you know, everyone's got a story.
So a couple of hot topic ideas.
Yes, let's transition.
1 year anniversary of Anthony Bourdain just happened.
Yes.
I've been seeing a lot of retrospective pieces, people reflecting on it. It's kind of really cool to see how many people still miss him, admire him, and still want to talk about him.
Totally.
And I think that's really cool, because a lot of times when people pass along, they generally become very quickly forgotten news. I think that's I think it's really, really interesting to see how much he touched people. And I was, you know, having read his book, Kitchen Confidential. It's kind of what I think what he did there was his, I think his biggest talent was the fact that he was just a normal guy, and he hit people because he wasn't trying to be pretentious. He wasn't trying to hide who he was, and he wasn't trying to be anything more than that. So I think that was seeing that, I think, has been really kind of nice. The other one is I'm really mad at myself because I bought Beyond Meat stock.
Yeah, you did.
I bought it when it was really cheap.
Well, for everyone listening, Jamie is a blossoming investor, stock investor. he's throwing that money around.
And I got really mad at myself because I bought it when really on day one, and I bought it for really cheap. And I kind of panicked, which I normally don't do.
Yeah.
I listen to some bad advice, and I normally don't do this because I usually buy a stock and hold it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of mad at myself because it's like doubled in price.
Yeah.
And the money I would have bought would have been quite a lot of money now.
Oh, damn.
I'm really frustrated about that. But
that's terrible.
But I was at Whole Foods. Yeah, I love it. You don't give a shit.
What are you talking about? I give a shit.
But I was at Whole Foods the other day, and I saw Beyond Meat is now, they were just like giving samples out, like, I don't know, obviously cook samples, but like they were. Yeah. But for, and I just think seeing, like, this is part of the evolution of 2019, this sphere where, like, we talked about eating animals in that episode that we talked about, and then the Beyond Meat thing. The A&W and then Impossible Foods, now doing stuff with like restaurants and Earls and stuff like this. It's pretty crazy where this market's going. And I think it's really interesting to see, like, the stock price right now is, I think it's over $100. There's a ton of money being pushed into this field. I think it's going to grow. I think you're going to see a lot more companies like Beyond Meat emerging. I think this is possibly something that's great for the world. And it kind of showcases that eventually we're going to get all our food probably from a fucking Petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've written about it extensively a little bit, talking about not only plant-based meat, but also cell-based meat. I think this is a trend that's something that's not going to go away. I think people should be very excited about it. Have you had one of the burgers yet?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, being a vegan, you have to, I've long suspended my, my hope that I'm going to have anything that's going to taste exactly like meat, because that's not going to happen. But yeah, man, like, I obviously, those fake meat products, I try to kind of steer away from, actually, to be honest with you. I eat a meat on main, and then I do field roast, which I've talked about on this podcast.
I thought you hated meat on main.
Well, when I'm feeling like, you know, when I want comfort food, which is their tagline, comfort food. But yeah, I'm not going to ever eat meat again. So I'm not looking for something that's going to taste like meat personally. So
cell-based meat?
Still on the fence. Ask me in 6 months.
You're trying to tell me that if I come here with two pork chops that are like grown in a Petri dish, no animals involved in it at all?
Well, just the animals' cells. So the animals are still alive is what you're saying.
Okay, whatever.
But that's what you're saying.
The animals are still alive.
Right. Just from their
cells. You wouldn't eat it.
Eh. I don't know, man. I kind of like, I've gotten this far. Like,
yeah, but
why,
not,
why?
That doesn't mean you're not a vegan.
Okay, so but what if I? Okay, so what if I eat that tasty, delicious pork chop, and then I get the fever? I get like the meat fever, and then now like I'm questioning my like in a whole belief system.
You can still eat cell-based meat if you want another one.
Okay, but say I eat a pork chop that's really good. It's from a Petri dish. It's cell-based meat production. So tasty, so delicious. And then like 2 months from now, I'm like in Toronto or whatever, and I just get the hank. I smell a pork chop and I'm like, fuck, I want a pork chop. But guess what? It's not from a fucking Petri dish. It's not certified cell based. Am I just going to like be like, okay, well now I have the hunger, so I'm just going to eat the meat anyway. So why would I even like risk that? I know that's like pretty like fucking far out there. Well, but that's really, what I think about.
You're overthinking this.
Man, I guarantee you, if I like was to like eat a piece of bacon, I would like get the hunger for bacon. I'd be like, fucking bacon. But that's only because I've been conditioned that way from eating meat my whole life, right? So I have that
what do you
fear.
Mean eating meat your whole life? You haven't had meat in how long?
Even if it's an irrational fear, I still have it.
But you haven't had meat in how long though?
Yeah, but 5 years, but you smell it and you're like, fuck, that's you have that smell, and there's some sort of non-tangible quality to it that you can't really like put your finger on. It's not like the trans fats, it's something else. It's probably like the animal anguish in there.
Oh my god, you're ridiculous. Make no sense.
Yeah. So like what I'm saying is why even like I'm perfectly fine with not eating meat, so why would I want to eat an actual piece of meat?
It's not real meat.
It's meat, but it's just like, I don't know. We're having this conversation 50 years from now, probably it'd be a lot different. But this is such a burgeoning thing, right? yeah, there's an ethical thought process you have to think about, right?
No, there isn't.
I think so.
It's a petri dish. It's like
yeah,
not even real food in some ways.
Well, okay, so but when you die and you get reincarnated, is it, are we talking about like on an atom level, like a subatomic level?
Oh my God.
Do morals travel to subatomic depths? Okay, what we're talking about?
Just stop talking. Oh my God.
People listening know what I'm talking about. Like, yes, killing animal fucking is shitty and the wrong thing to do, and that's my belief, but also eating its cells, does that fall into that category? I gotta think a lot about this before we can actually like come to an actual resolution.
All right. Okay, you do your thing. Hey, by the way, so looks like Canada is going to be a country where we ban plastic bags.
Yes. Yeah. Slow clap for Canada.
I think that's pretty good.
Like 15 years too late?
Yeah. Well, but straws still, are already out.
That's not okay. So I'm confused.
Well, we're banning single use
plastic. So they're obviously taking an incremental approach to waste reduction, which I get, which is awesome. But why campaign hugely for straws? And then like this year it's bags. Why not just put your foot in
well,
the
they
sand?
Are.
Put a line. Yeah, but like, well, they are now, but like, I don't understand why there's like, they're slowly incrementally picking certain things as like iconic topics.
Do you know nothing about politics? Everything takes everything.
I try not to know nothing about politics.
So one of the major things about politics is the way politics works. Whatever the issue is today, it's not something we're not going to talk about it for another 10 years.
Right.
Generally, what we discuss today is what we should have been discussing, like you said, 15 years ago. That's how politics works.
Right.
It takes a very long time for people to realize that, we probably should get on this now.
Yeah.
So we're always like one step behind where we should actually be.
Right.
And that's probably one of the frustrating things. It's like, like this whole global warming thing, we should be talking about this now. No, we should have been talking about this about 20 years ago or even earlier.
Yeah.
But now people are starting to get it because we're starting to see the effects of it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to eventually start hitting our... I mean, people seem to think that here in BC that we're just immune to this. The wildfires are going to be a big thing. But I talk to people about this all the time. But like the water shortage is going to be a thing in this province.
Totally.
Like eventually we're going to have it where like we're going to have it this summer where it's going to be fucking blistering hot for the next 3 months. And water is going to be a thing like where we're going to start. They're going to be saying like, hey, restrictions on water. You know, people seem to forget that, like, you know, we have this weird, stupid, vacuous idea where Canada has all this abundancy of water. No, we do not. We have a lot more water than other countries, but we are still this great big country. But the other day, we can't waste our resources either.
Yeah, it's massed through a veil of first world perspective. But we're going to have this. It'd be like Mad Max Fury Road, man.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because Trudeau's going to put this in and then Canada's going to be stupid and elect fucking Andrew Scheer in the next election. And then he's just going to fucking
resist. Okay, so I don't even know who that is. Because
he's the fucking leader of the Conservative Party. He's a retard.
I know, but I've been so removed from... not only U.S. politics, but Canadian politics. Since Donald Trump won, I just didn't want to even do with it. I was too emotionally invested. And I just, I've withdrawn fully.
Well, you have from to be invested. You have culture. To care.
I know. Well, I will do research and I will vote for sure. Absolutely. But like all of the meandering and sort of the minutiae of it, I just fucking, I can't focus on it right now. That's why I have you and my mom. Shout out to Beth if you're listening.
Okay, fair enough. I love how your mom always listens.
Oh, she's our number one fan. She Beats and Repeat podcast. She listens to Flux. She gives us likes on Facebook. She's on Instagram. Or actually, she is on Instagram. But yeah, she's our number one supporter. So Beth McLeod, my beautiful, lovely mother, shout outs to you right now and later too.
Okay.
But yeah, that's where I get all my politics from. She actually reads Breitbart, if you can believe it or not.
You know, it's
Breitbart
not a bad,
to the Guardian.
Not a bad thing to read Breitbart either.
Yeah, she wants the full spectrum of fake news.
Yeah. You can
from
read
left and right.
You can read real news and then you can read Breitbart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then you can kind of have a perspective like, oh, these people are crazy.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I checked out today. There's a column going out there talking about how coffee is linked to longer life.
Really? Wow. Anything about tea in there or just coffee?
No, there's no tea. But they did this.
Well, coffee.
They did the survey with 8,000 people, and there were some people in there who suggested that they drank over 25 cups a day, which I think is fucking ridiculous.
That's absolutely absurd.
My mom is probably one of those people.
25 cups of coffee a day?
Yeah, but you know what?
Crazy. How do you sleep?
That's what I said. But they threw them out. Anyways, this made me very sad because I don't drink coffee, and you don't. You don't. Do you drink coffee at all?
I haven't had a coffee in about 15 years. I do drink tea, though. I drink a ton of tea.
Why? I think
probably two pots a day.
I think everyone knows that.
Well, yeah, if they listen to this show, I'm sure. Yeah,
but I mean, absolutely. I just think that's, there's no way great coffee can be good for you.
Well, I think these studies are interesting, and I'll tell you why. Because how often do you see these like diet trends or these detox trends or these, you know, these products that we get sold to us where it's like, if you do this one thing, this will happen. This is your cure-all. This is this. Where the actual scientific fact is that everyone's genetic DNA and chemical makeup in their body is completely different. So, you know, the old, you know, French grandma who, you know, drinks two glasses of red wine a day lives to be 105. Whereas like people die of cancer at 40. So like this whole idea of like one thing being the thing that causes long life to me is completely ridiculous. And like, it's a throwaway article in my opinion. Like everyone's body's different. How you intake oxygen affects your health, depending on people's, you know, like what they can absorb through their body absorbs. And that's genetic. And you can't change that. So for some people, they can smoke fucking, right? Like 2 packs a day or like a pack a day.
My grandpa was like that.
Yeah.
And be totally fine. Until he's 82.
And some people can get cancer from secondhand smoke. There's no be all end all thing. And for someone to say, yeah, coffee is linked to longer life, maybe in certain cases, but not for everyone. So people reading that article, are they going to start drinking coffee now? Are you thinking about drinking coffee?
No, not at all.
What if I just took like a coffee, like pill, and have to drink it? Just like, you know, whatever the enzymes are that coffee apparently makes you live longer for in a pill form, like iron pill or something like that. I'd do that.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't get coffee. Yeah. I'll never get it. Anyways, I don't want to go on that any further. I just thought I'd point it out.
I think it's dumb. You can say that about anything. Like, I eat an apple a day. It keeps the doctor away.
Yeah, but you don't eat apples.
I do eat an apple. Not every day.
You do?
Not every day, but I do eat apples. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Honey Crisp. Whole Foods. Check it out.
Okay, so we're gonna be a little bit more cohesive here because I feel like we're just going all over the place. So it's probably me just leading you over.
Par for the course.
A couple things I'm just going to shout out to. So to talk about that earlier comment that I wrote at the beginning of 2019, I talked about four main ideas. The first one I wanted to rediscuss was the idea of company structure. When I talked about the idea of company structure, I was talking about the idea of how a lot of restaurants in Vancouver are starting to move more into the casual sphere and how we're the more high-end dining. And this, I referenced Autostrada and how Chinara used to be here in downtown Vancouver, a little bit more upscale restaurant, and moved into Autostrada. And now it's kind of, they've flourished. And then when we see restaurants like Pepino's and Como, which are a little bit more of the casual thing, really taking off. And then you don't see too many other restaurants really kind of going for something that's a little bit more higher end. You really definitely get a sense. I feel like 2019 is kind of the year where Vancouver dining, especially in the city where minimum wage just went up again. I think from my assessment, I feel like the city is really starting to gravitate towards more the Como kind of idea when it comes to, and I think the breweries are really starting to take off. And I feel like, I feel like that's kind of the model of where restaurant dining in the city is going to start moving towards. I mean, you've been going, now that you've been doing this podcast, you've been going a little bit more. And do you think this is good for Vancouver, or do you feel like this is going to be a small trend where eventually something's going to flip?
I don't think I'm really like qualified to answer that question, to be honest with you.
Well, no, personal opinion.
Oh, personal opinion. I just think with real estate speculation in the city, it's making it hard for anyone to do something. Well, I have a few thoughts. First of all,
yeah, I knew you had some thoughts because I think about this because like even the guys, like I interviewed the guys, James and Josh Pape, James Ironside and Josh Pape from the guys who do Goosenecks, the guys who owns Bells and Whistles and Wildebeest and Buffalo. I mean, they're opening a new restaurant up in North Van.
Right.
It's going to be a larger place, but it's definitely of the casual sphere. You know, it kind of fits this mold.
Right.
And I feel like seeing what they're doing, and Nickley's expanding out there, and you see other restaurants really kind of, you know, Donnelly Group, and, you know, you see stuff going on with, like it's when we said earlier, with Colony. Hmm. I feel like that's, like, think about that place Sing Sing that we like to go to.
Well, I don't go there anymore since I found out there's Donnelly money in there.
My God.
Well, okay. So everything is cyclical, right? So yes, this could be a trend for now in the next couple of years, but eventually it'll get to the point where people are craving a fine dining restaurant, right? Same thing in music, right? Everything's cyclical. Like I was at Still Life, which is a clothing store on Main Street last year, and I was staring at the shoe wall, and all of a sudden a fucking Michael McDonald song comes on. I don't know if you've ever heard of the term yacht rock.
What does that stand for again?
So yacht rock, okay. This is something I've been thinking about for a long time. I'm just gonna say it. So yacht rock, what millennials and younger people call yacht rock is what people in the 60s and 70s and baby boomers call soft rock. So you can't just fucking rebrand a style of music and call it yacht rock and then start making playlists and have it be a big thing. It's soft rock. Michael McDonald makes soft rock.
Hold on. So it's music from the 60s and 70s?
Through a modern lens. So when I'm on Main Street and I hear a really cool clothing store playing fucking Michael McDonald, that's when you know, like, you know, to quote, there's a really good movie called Drinking Buddies, and Ron Livingston's character, shout out to Ron Oliver. Ron Livingston's character plays an audio engineer, and he's recording this young band who has a cellist, and his quote in the movie is, I don't know what's ironic anymore. So I'm at the point where I don't know what's ironic anymore. And when you hear soft rock and quote unquote yacht rock being played, you know, which is, you know, probably the hippest music scene in Vancouver on Main Street, things have come full circle. So that's my point. Things are cyclical. So it's happening in the restaurant sphere, and the casual model is all going to sort of like, it's going to get to a point where it kind of like, I'm thinking as a sort of a big picture thing, it's going to get to a point where people don't want to do that anymore and they want to do something different, whether that's like counter service.
That's definitely on the rise.
Yeah. Or whether that's, you know, more delivery services or whatever, or people going like, someone's going to be like, fuck it, we're going all fine dining, like the most rarest, you know, cuisine and all that kind of stuff and the best service. Someone's going to like eventually bring back that model. So it's all cyclical in my view.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you touched on something right there, because the next point that I was going to talk about was the delivery age.
Yeah.
And how the delivery age is really going to start taking off. However, as you were talking about earlier, when me being an investor, I got up really early that morning when Uber went public, and I thought about buying Uber stock, but then I was like, I don't know, this is kind of stupid. And then seeing how much their stock dropped, because they were going to initially price their IPO at $45 a share, because they were expecting their valuation of the company to be around $120 billion. And they came in under that, and they came in around 90, and then they dropped now, and they're only valued at about 67 now. And I think their shares are hovering around that. And that's a lot of it's played on with the idea of where Lyft, because they came out earlier, their IPO dropped like crazy. So it's probably losing. But when you see that, and then you see a lot of the market regulations that are happening in California and New York with companies like Uber, and then the fact that a city like Vancouver, like us, we're the last major North American city to still not have ride sharing. The more I've learned about that company, the more I've learned about that market. And I feel like Uber's only advantage is Uber Eats platform, because I feel like Uber Eats is eventually going to take over. I feel like their only main competitor is DoorDash. Like, I think Fedora eventually is going to just go by the wayside. And I would say this. I think the other one, what's the other one? Skip the Dishes. I don't see those two lasting eventually as long as Uber Eats, because I think Uber Eats has just got a bigger model. And eventually we probably will get ride sharing here in Vancouver, but it's interesting to see that market, because for the longest time I was very much in favor of like ride sharing coming to Vancouver. But now that I learn about how poorly they pay their drivers, how badly they skirt regulation, because that's the only way they make money, the more I'm kind of like, you know what? Fuck it. We don't need them. Even though we do need them. I think as a society, we definitely need that market. We definitely need more competition and definitely more availability. But I think when it comes into the dining sphere and the food sphere, I think if I was to look back on what I wrote at the beginning of 2019 and saying how the delivery age is going to become something that's more of an emergence, I think I'm going to push back on that a little bit now. I think it is, but I don't think it's going to be as big as we probably initially thought. Because the role of restaurants and the way they mesh with our society, I think, is really changing. I think touching on the idea of like how things are moving into that kind of more casual sphere, I think people are kind of being swayed, and I think delivery will be a big part of it. But I just don't think it's going to be as big as I thought. That's probably what I'm just going to get at. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Because I think you and I have even talked about the idea that we're probably never even going to use these anyways, right? So
I don't know. I think it's ridiculous practice to even try to predict what's going to happen. These companies kind of, you know, piggybacking on what other companies are doing to try to sort of, you know, try to figure out what the people want, what the population wants. So I'm just more of an observer type than in terms of a predictor type, because I have no bearing on what's even happening in the city most times. I'm just stuck in Carousel most time. Actually, I'm in Chinatown most of the time too. A lot of the time lately anyway. So it's an interesting thing about those, but I do stick to my point of everything being cyclical. So it's human nature for people to get tired of something that becomes not only popular, but becomes sort of like mainstay. So I think people's nature to gravitate awards, to gravitate away from things that are popular is, you know, the whole counterculture instinct is very strong. And going back to Vancouver and sort of what goes on here, I do think that the people are scared, and this may be a reflection on this casual model. People are scared to take risks and chances and do something new in the city. And I'm only speaking from a DJ standpoint, because musically the city is hampered and handcuffed comparatively to Toronto and Montreal. People are just have always had, in my experience, have always had trouble doing something that's new and interesting and unique. So I think that kind of maybe resonates also with not only the restaurant industry, but also other industries. People are always scared to take chances, I think. So that could be what we're seeing right now with this sort of like someone does something that's successful and everyone wants to emulate that model, right? Like Golden State Warriors, not to bring up basketball again, but they go small ball, they go ball movement, they go relocating, three-point shooting, space the floor as far as you can. And then all of a sudden the entire NBA changes, because it almost happens with every NBA championship team. Everyone looks at that model and like, this is how we're going to be successful. And everyone tries to emulate that, right?
So, well, I mean, but you could totally hit that with the food industry. I mean, look, exactly. We talked about that earlier. Donnelly becomes really successful. Colony comes in.
Totally.
Kind of basically takes their idea and kind of runs with it.
Yeah.
You see Nickley coming in and doing really good pizza. And then eventually you see Pizzeria Farina, and you see, well, I mean, Via Tavera has been longer, but you see a lot more. And then Bufla comes in. You see a lot more of the people are like, all right, pizza works, pizza works.
Yeah.
And then you see Savio Volpe come in, and then they do another one with Pepino's. And then it's like, people see what works.
I just wish that Vancouver had more of like a fuck you in it, you know? Like, people would just be like, I'm going to do this because I like it.
Well, there is one.
Well, but I wish we had more. What's the one?
Transam is one.
Transam, yeah. But well, I wish the city had more of that. Like,
why are they a fuck you?
Well, no, by fuck you, I mean like, we're going to do what we want to do. We're passionate about it. We're going to cultivate a community of like-minded people, and we don't give a shit about how much money we make. We want to make obviously money. We want to be successful, but we don't give a shit about what fucking people write in fucking magazines or whatever, newspapers. I just wish Vancouver had more of that sort of backbone instead of everyone trying to like figure out the next popular thing and make money on it and capitalize on it. Right.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they're all still businesses, so they have to make money, but think about a business like Trans Am, right on East Hastings. They offer two menu items, a burger and a fucking $100 steak.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's so funny.
Like, if you could have a fuck you to anyone, it's like, no, but think about it. That's all they do.
Yeah, yeah.
A really delicious burger, and they do a fucking $100 steak. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, that's what we do. Yeah. This is our model. I agree with you. I fucking dig that, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I agree with you. I think a lot more, I think it'd be, it's definitely, you want to see more of that. You want to see people kind of going out there and be like, you know what, this is our identity, and this is what we're going to run, swing for the fences for. But I can also understand, I wrote about this like 2 years ago, I can understand why we kind of gravitate towards, like a lot of restaurateurs are now gravitating towards what's safe. Because, you know,
minus the financial aspects of
no,
it.
No, but, right? I mean, I can understand why James and Josh are going to be doing a new Bufla instead of taking a risk on doing maybe another really risky endeavor.
Yeah.
Because why not take something that's been really successful for you and up in Carisdale and expand on it? Because it's a very successful model. It's also a very approachable model. It's also a model that you can kind of expand on.
Totally.
And, you know,
it's the same thing with Global Group and all the trattorias, right?
Yeah.
So they were opening one-off independent concepts, and then they decided, well, fuck, what are we doing? Let's just go with our most successful business model, and that's trattoria. And now there's like, whatever, five trattorias around.
Yeah.
Trattoria. Sorry, Matteo, if you're listening.
Isn't it trattoria?
No. What's the American pronunciation? Okay, trattoria.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I get it. You know, I understand it. Or like, you're Paul Grunberg, and you all of a sudden you got Savio. Savio's super busy, super awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously they saw an opportunity with Nick's Spaghetti House, and then you take a chance and go, okay, you know what? it's still kind of in what we're already kind of known for and what we're doing. And then we're just kind of going to go with that. And it's very approachable. So I understand that from a business perspective, because if you were to ask me right now, Jamie, would you want to go out there and open up a restaurant? What would you do? Mm-hmm. I could have my ego project. I've talked about this with friends of mine who wanted to maybe get into the business of running a restaurant or opening their own restaurant or bar. And the first thing they asked me, like, what would you do? Like, how should I do this? This. You know, I've talked to Sean McGuigan about this, and, you know, he's got some great ideas, and he's probably one of the best bartenders I know. And he's, you know, he's even come out and said, like, I want to do this and this and this. And I'm like, okay, so that's going to be your ego. That's your ego project. But are you going to make money? You know, like, is that something that's going to, you know, sometimes you always have to ask yourself that question. It's like, do I go out, you know, because this is where I get at the idea of like, where is 2019 right now? It's like, okay, if I was open a restaurant right now, do I give them what they want, or do I put my ego first? You know, and I think that's sometimes the struggle with, especially with a market like Vancouver. You know, like I've talked about this.
Well, the financial landscape here is just fucking,
well, it's
on
really
steroids.
Expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Minimum wage is not only going up, but taxes are going up. Rents are super expensive. You know, like right now, if you were to go in Gastown is not what it was 5 years ago. Gastown's starting to really kind of lose a lot of its identity because it's starting to become a lot like what Yaletown is. It's starting to become a hub for tourists, and it's starting to, you know, a lot of the great independents are maybe not as important or struggling. And it's, you know, I don't think it's as popular as what it was 5 or 6, 7 years ago when it was really starting to thrive and have that, you know, community feel, but still very busy.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to ask yourself, if you're a business owner, like, and you run local, do you care which people come in there? No, probably not. You know, as long as you're coming in, it doesn't fucking matter. But your clientele is going to change. And that's just part of the evolution of cycle of these things, right? And it's, you know, if I was to open a restaurant right now, I'd probably just do the safe thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have no blame for that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
Like, I think when people write, like when I saw that on Vancouver Magazine, you see them saying like, is Donnelly good for Vancouver?
Yeah.
People can come across and say that and be like, and those writers can say those things and bitch about all these things. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty confident a lot of those people would like to be in Jeff Donnelly's place right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you've got over 20 some restaurants and you're fucking super successful and you've had a major imprint in not only Vancouver, but now you're in Toronto. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't have a problem with the Donnelly.
No, I don't have a problem with either, but
like
it's fascinating.
They all have sort of like similar conceptual ideas to them.
Yeah.
And similar menus, but like, you know, if you want to go, if you know a place is going to be open till 3 and you want to go, you know, pound a couple IPAs before you go home after work. Like,
Fairmont, man.
You know, you can go to a Donnelly place for sure.
Fairmont every night. We
Butcher and Bullock.
Butcher,
I know.
And Bullock,
yeah.
Right there.
Legendary.
Yeah, it's right there.
Shout
always
out Butcher and Bullock.
Yeah, and it's always busy.
Yeah,
and it's always open till 3. Are they always? Is every one of their places open till 3?
I'm pretty sure Lamplighter is. Cinema.
Lamplighter is. Cinema is.
Yeah, I don't think Bimini's is because it's in Kits though.
No, what's the one? Oh, Gramble Room is for sure.
Gramble Room. Yeah, sometimes till 4.
How do you know that?
Who work for Donnelly Group, if you are listening, it's very well known in our small Vancouver hospitality community that if you end up at Granville Room, any portion of your night, then things have gone awry.
Yeah, I can definitely testify to that one.
I'm not saying awry in a bad way. I'm just saying they've gone awry. They've gone askew. Something's happened.
Good. It's good. The last part of this episode, and we hope you've all been enjoying this episode so far. It's been kind of like a weird, introspective, fun.
Don't tell the thinker. Don't tell the listener what to think.
Well, I know, but this hasn't been like our normal episode. We're just kind of riffing on a lot of things.
Yeah, we're boosting ourselves. It's great.
Well, yeah. Okay, whatever. How's the wine, by the way?
Fantastic. My gosh. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad about spilling a glass of this, or 90% of a glass. It's fantastic.
You can have the rest there. Go ahead, pour.
No, please do. Oh, that's all you, buddy.
Anyways, spilled.
I was bad.
I was going to have some fun with this. So I'm very lucky enough to contribute to Scout Magazine, and I love working with Michelle and Andrew. And one of the fun things I get to do on there is I get to do some really good interviews. And one of the series I do is called The New Breed, where I get to interview people and talk to them about, you know, some of the things they do. Well, I've never interviewed you.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Oh, damn. I didn't prepare.
I didn't tell you.
This is so exciting.
I didn't tell you I was going to do this either. So we're going to have
some fun.
Everyone
knows me and knows I'm opinionated.
Well, no, but I think part of it also doing this podcast is like a lot of people probably don't know who we are.
Yeah, maybe.
So, and they might not give a fuck. So, but
maybe that's maybe, likely.
I know your mom does. So maybe she's listening. Maybe she's stoked.
Yeah. I know Ron cares.
Yeah, Ron cares.
So, Actually, you know what? Ron doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, he does.
But he doesn't listen to his episodes.
Yeah, I saw him running this morning. It was good.
Ah, good for you, Ron.
Yeah, it was good.
The ankle must be all healed up.
Okay. Where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
I was born in Mooseman, Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Lived there for about a year. Then my family relocated to Brandon, Manitoba. Lived there for a few, a hot minute. Then we made our way down the West Coast to Alberta and then over to BC. So I was in BC when I was in grade 2.
Okay. You've been in BC ever since?
Yeah, I'm raised in BC.
Okay. And then you've been working in hospitality and you work as a bartender at the Fairmont Airport.
Correct.
Did you ever have any ambitions to do anything else?
Yes. Well, I graduated from high school and what is in the kinesiology program.
Hey, I took that too.
Yeah. So I was going to be a, you know, PE teacher or a physiotherapist.
I didn't know that.
Personal therapist. I shouldn't be anyone's personal therapist. So I went to Langara, got a full scholarship ride, played redshirted 1 year on the basketball team, and then decided that this wasn't the life for me. And then I got into DJing and music.
Do you want to be a DJ?
My main goal was to be a producer, so to make electronic music, which is kind of what I do. Hmm. Not successfully or professionally by any means, but I still get to do it.
Okay, so if you could work for one week in a Vancouver restaurant or bar, which one would it be?
Oh, wow.
With your limited fucking experience, because you don't go out that much.
Well, it's got to be Acorn.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a vegan. Oh. The shit they do there is fucking phenomenal. Their cocktail program is...
What would you want to do? Would you want to be on the bar? Would you want to
Wines
cook?
Are great.
Would you want to serve?
Yeah, I'd want to serve for sure.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that answer. That's a good answer. I was
expecting... Maybe second would be East is East.
East is East?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Como.
No, not Como. Yeah. Hey, man, I got to... Props to my vegans out there. I got to respect... I got to respect the veganism.
Okay, let's say you have an unlimited budget. Uh-huh. You open a restaurant of your dreams.
Uh-huh.
Sky's the limit.
Yeah.
What would it be?
It'd be a basketball bar, for sure.
Basketball?
Yeah, it has to be.
That's pretty good, actually.
Totally. Somewhere, because you can't go... The thing about Vancouver that really sucks, speaking of things that suck in Vancouver, is it's such a hockey-dominated environment, and also football, or soccer, I mean.
No, it is not. You want to know why? Okay, here's the thing.
No, but where can you go... to watch, besides NBA playoffs, where can you go on a fucking Tuesday night to watch like Sacramento or whoever play? There's nowhere in Vancouver where you can watch.
I agree with you on that one. But here's something I've found very fascinating about Vancouver that I want to shit on right now. I'm going to shit on Vancouver right now.
Do it.
So I was out with Mike Schell and Ron Oliver last night for drinks at the American.
Yeah.
And
I didn't get a phone call. So
by the time
whatever.
This episode comes out, this will be, you know, negligible because the Stanley Cup and the NBA playoffs will be over.
Yes.
But this was game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. St. Louis versus Boston Bruins. Boston is down in the series 3-2. Mm-hmm. We're at the American. This is actually a big game because if St. Louis wins, they win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Because they're at home. I'm sitting there with Ron and Mike. We're having a beer and we're just hanging out. Vancouver is known to be a hockey town. We had a fucking riot fucking 8 years ago when the Vancouver Canucks lost. People just seemed to lose their mind. I thought Vancouver loved hockey. I thought Vancouver is a very big hockey city. There was literally maybe 8 people in that fucking place. This is the American, where generally there's a big screen. People like to, you know, people, there's lots of TVs, generally an environment where there's lots of people. Now, today, the day that we're recording this, which when you listen to this would be like another week or so after this, I guarantee that the American is going to be fucking stupid busy today. Why? Because the Raptors are playing game 5. And they might win this. And they might win the NBA championship today. Now, I love that enthusiasm. However, I find it very disheartening to learn that Vancouver does not give a shit still about the Stanley Cup Finals. Just because, like, what?
Well, there's a few different things at play here.
There's no Canadian team.
Well, are you a hockey fan? Do you watch hockey?
No, but I would assume there's a lot of hockey
fans. Hold on. Just yes or no?
I don't.
Okay, so let me explain to you as a Vancouver Canucks hockey fan growing up here in Vancouver.
Not even Vancouver Canucks. I just thought there was hockey fans out there.
We are hockey fans, but...
So you only support what?
Vancouver's not a hockey town. It's a Canucks town.
But here's the thing.
It's a Canucks town.
My team is...
And Boston Bruins, the team that we got in the riot about and beat us 4-0 in game 7 on our home ice, that's the team that's playing in the finals.
But so here's the
everyone
thing.
In Vancouver's like, fuck you, we're not watching Boston.
But it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying that's probably the reason why.
Still fucking watch. If
I was watching as it worked.
My Lakers haven't made the playoffs in 6 years. I still fucking watch the NBA finals.
Yeah. Okay, this is a whole different issue. The issue is whether or not people in Vancouver watch.
People suck. They only care.
People have to get up early to fucking go to yoga, man, and hike and shit. No,
people only watch because they get on the bandwagon jumping. That's why, like, part of this whole Raptors like euphoria right now is kind of
huge irritating. Bandwagon jumping.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying.
What I'm saying. I would want to open a bar that's a basketball bar for the heads who can come in and talk stats and like fucking like Like, you know what
would
I mean?
Would you play old basketball games?
Oh, it would be basketball all the time. It'd be ESPN Classics. That would be like the thing.
Hey, let's do this.
In terms of cuisine, yeah, I think we're just breaking new ground here. I don't know what the cuisine or cocktails would be or whatever. It would be super chill, but it would be a place, it would be a haven for basketball fanatics who are like just want to be able to watch any game they want and want to be in a place where like-minded people who can just talk basketball. That would be what I would do.
Are you big into cocktails?
Yeah, sort of.
Favorite?
My favorite cocktail of all time? My favorite cocktail right now is the Bamboo from Como. And I know it's like beating a dead horse, but I just find that to be fantastic.
What's in it? You remember?
Yeah, it's just, it's vermouth. It's sherry, vermouth, and orange bitters.
That's it?
Yeah, super simple.
Super simple.
Yeah. I think it is anyways.
Okay, favorite like classic cocktail?
Man. A fucking beer and wine guy.
You're a bartender, man.
Yeah, if I was gonna drink something, I would be a Manhattan probably.
Okay, that's. I'm.
We had some good ones at Kiefer Bar the other day.
Shout out to Kiefer Bar. Yeah, I'm a Manhattan sidecar and last word guy.
Yeah, I don't like anything with like citrus and sugar, generally speaking. Okay.
Name your favorite three Vancouver restaurants.
Acorn, Arbor.
It's the same company, so you can't put them on the
Okay, so I'll go Arbor then.
We'll just say Acorn Arbor. That's one.
Acorn Arbor. East is East, which I mentioned already. Then my third favorite would be... Oh my God. Totally drawing him into blank. Mammy Taylor's.
Oh.
Yeah. That's pretty. Even though I can't eat anything there, it's fun to hang out there.
Okay. No, you can have the pasta there.
Yeah, I can, but... Tuck Shop too, I like.
Yeah, Tuck Shop's good. We like going there for beers.
Speaking of Chinatown.
Okay. Name your all-time three favorite spirits.
Gin, and gin.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it? There's nothing you don't like? Bourbon? Scotch?
Really? I'm not a fan of scotch, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Gin, give me a...
Do you have a favorite
herbaceous
gin? Do you have a favorite gin?
Yeah, it's called St. George, and it's out of California.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they make three, but the one that is really fantastic is one called Terroir.
The Terroir piney one?
It's so spicy and so junipery and so botanical. It's everything. It's so flavorful. Goes really well with lemon. Just no ice, neat, with a little lemon zest. Fantastic. Yeah, maybe bourbon would be my second one. I am recently, in the last couple of years, getting into rum a little bit, but like reverse charcoal filtered rum, like clear rum, like Rumfire and Ray and Nephew. Yeah, overproof stuff.
Oh, Ray and Nephew is pretty awesome. I made a pina colada with Ray and Nephew the other day. That was a little bit.
Dude, give me a three rum blend daiquiri, but make sure one of those rums is overproof.
That's my favorite. So good. That's one of my favorite cocktail to make right now, actually, is that we have a rum blend at work. I make it with three rums.
We should do a podcast.
Yeah, I think we should, actually. Okay,
I'm really enjoying these questions. So for people listening, I do another podcast called Beats and Repeat with Tristan. And at the end of every episode, I ask Tristan three questions to get to know him better. So this is like role reversal for me.
It's good. I like this.
It's very nice. I like it.
Okay. If you were going to go and take a lovely lady for some late night cocktails, where would you take her?
Late night cocktails? I would go to the Kiefer Bar.
Really?
Yeah. Shout out to Pawnee if you're listening.
I guess that's not surprising. I get it.
Well, okay. So... there are a lot of cocktail bars, but the Kiefer Bar, their music they play is exceptional. They play they play neo soul, they play some house. Some of the performers that they have there are fucking fantastic, and the vibe is like, it's like a sort of like a neo cocktail bar. Like it has the whole sort of speakeasy type vibe. It's really dark in there. There's mirrors everywhere, but it also has this modernized element to it, which I really connect with. For me, the music that a place plays is paramount to my experience. Like that's like the number one thing is the music and the atmosphere.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good
one. Also the drinks, because the drinks there are fucking bomb.
Yeah, they have great cocktails there.
Honorable mention,
I love the Kiefer Bar, but I call it the Black Hole.
Yeah. Honorable mention would probably
because I just get in trouble when I go there.
Yeah, yeah. Honorable mention would be Como.
And Como's pretty good.
Because of the Bamboo, which I mentioned before. And then I would say Juniper.
Juniper used to be nice mine. Place to Max Borman doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah. But still, amazing gin cocktails.
He's opening up.
You know what they had there? They had a fucking IPA vegan gin sour. So it was vegan egg whites, and it was I can't remember what IPA they used, but it was a collaboration with Collective Arts Brewing. It was a collaboration with Faculty Brewing, and it was unbelievable. And for people listening, don't know where Faculty Brewing is? It's in Olympic Village, just up the street from Olympic Village. and they actually do a botanical gin beer that's on their mainstay menu, which is unbelievable. And that's a collaboration with Juniper as well. I think Max had a hand in that as well. So
I think he did.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a really good drink too. But I'm not a sour person, but that would be sort of an honorable mention.
Yeah, he's about to open up Open Outcry. It's in the old exchange building.
Yeah.
That just got redeveloped, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're about to open up pretty soon, actually.
Oh, cool. I will give an honorable mention to a place in Marpole called The Yard. And it's the sister restaurant to the Fringe Cafe, which is on West Broadway. Legendary. It was actually opened before the Fringe Cafe, but I think a few years. And if you ever want a really, really cheap bourbon and cheap gin and cheap scotch, go there because you can get like a shot of Basil Hayden's for like $4.
You want to know the best deal in the city? Go to the Commodore Ballroom whenever you want to go see a show.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get a double of Hennessy VS for like $9.
That's crazy.
It's fucking amazing.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's my little...
Still?
It's like my trade secret.
Amazing. Little,
every time I go there, it's like amazing.
Yeah. So this place, The Yard, it's the same thing. All of their scotches to a certain point are like dirt cheap. But then when you get into like Lagavulin, it jumps up to like, you know, like $30 an ounce or whatever. But like everything in the middle range is like super cheap. So
cool.
Open late.
That's all my questions for you.
Ah, awesome. I was correct on all those.
I think you did pretty good, actually. Yeah, very excited. So last thing before we leave, all of you, we talked about this on our last episode. We are launching our new platform called Midrange. Mickey, what is Midrange?
Midrange is a content site that is meant to highlight food, culture, music, film, and art in our beautiful city of Vancouver, British Columbia.
Well, yeah, and not only Vancouver. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff that's current events and stuff like this, but Vancouver.
Totally. Focused. But yeah, we wanted to have an inclusionary community mantra, which we do. And basically just a site where you can go to and check out what's good in Vancouver, and what's good in music, what's good in film. Read interesting pieces, think pieces on, you know, the 1994 Oscars. Just basically interesting content. You can listen to all of our podcasts on there, of course. Which
I just wrote a thing on the Very Dry Martini, which I think is the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah, that's one of your hot button issues. Don't get Jamie going on a Very Dry Martini.
Well, because if it's dry, you can't make it very dry. That's just fucking stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So,
I kind of wish bartenders and servers would correct people when they ordered that and say that's impossible.
Well, we should.
So if you want a very dry martini, you're asking for me for just a glass of gin.
Absolutely.
So why not just order a glass of gin and fucking correct them?
Yeah, so it's mainly a content site. Jamie's writing is on there. I'm sort of maybe trying to start to write some stuff, but we've done a couple playlists. Yeah, just everything to do with film and culture in Vancouver and obviously around the world. And music is a big part of it with our podcast as well. My third podcast, Flux, is on there. You can listen to the full episodes.
Did you do a little bit
of
Stereo Lab on there?
A little bit of Stereo Lab. We wanted to have a place where we could amalgamate all of our ideas and content, and we want to sort of spread the umbrella and include people who are like-minded and people who are artists and photographers and musicians and all that kind of stuff. So really exciting. You know, it was been about a year since we had a meeting, you, myself, and Tristan at Main Street Brewing, shout outs, and had this idea, and it's really cool to see it sort of come to fruition now. And the site's up and the site's live, and you can go check it out. www.midrangevancouver.com.
Perfect.
I, as one last piece of business, want to... We talked a bit about the show and our experiences and how we've sort of navigated the different guests, stuff like that. So I just want to like give a proper, well-deserved shout-out to everyone we've had on the show. Starting with Ron Oliver, who's our first guest. Fucking Ron. You are a legend. What a beauty. Go to Mammy Taylor's, check out his place. Then we had Chris Enns, who killed it and won the Diageo Best Bartender.
Diageo World Class Canada, he won it. And
World
guess
Class
who won?
Canada.
And guess who won just this past week?
Yes.
Jeff Savage.
Jeff Savage just won.
Head bartender, botanist. The hotel I work at now has three of Diageo World Class champions, Grant Sini,
amazing,
Chris Enns, and now Jeff Savage. We are starting to turn into like a juggernaut when it comes to, we're the Golden State Warriors of the
everyone hates us.
Just kidding. So who would I be then? Would I be
Iggy? I think you'd be Draymond Green, maybe.
I'd be Draymond. That's pretty good.
I don't know. I have to analyze that more because you really can't pass though. That's
I can pass. Get fucked.
You can set good screens.
I can be Swedish Larry Bird.
Swedish Larry Bird. Okay, perfect. So we had Chris, and he was our first cocktail bartender on. He was amazing, learning his story and like super knowledgeable. And then we had Sean, speaking of knowledgeable, who schooled us on rum and Amaro, and it was fantastic.
Sean McGuigan.
Shout out to you. And then we had Bruce on, of Ono. He was awesome to talk to. He had some great stuff to say and learning about his life and being a father and his endeavor into the world of being a business owner. Then we had Tristan Young of the Oakwood. R.I.P. Oakwood. So sorry.
I think we had him on too early.
But yeah, you could have totally talked some shit about about the owner. But
is he that good?
No, the owner's great. Mike Shea, he's a gem. He just was,
no, but is Tristan that good? I don't know.
Tristan was, it's hard to say.
That was probably our worst episode.
Hard to look past all those tattoos.
We don't like Tristan.
Yeah, Tristan. Yeah, that's kind of a throwaway episode. Then we had a group chat with Max Borman and Mike Shum, friends of the show. Shout out to Max if you're listening.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Mike Shum just won the he won that Caesar competition.
Yeah, totally.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Amazing. And then Max has moved on to consulting. But that was our first group chat. It was a new concept for us at the time, so that was great. And then following that, we had our second group chat with Nick Black, Strange Fellows, and our good friend Patrick Drod. Did you say it, Drod?
Grozd. I think that's how you say it.
Of Good Company Lager, which is like, if you're looking for a flavorful, Kolsch-like lager, get into that. It's delicious.
Yeah, and he's got the Lobster Shack now too. They're doing, You can get, he's the owner of that, and you can find that right next to the Hudson Bays downtown.
Yep. Check that out. Then we had a little episode, just me and Jamie, which was probably pretty boring. And we listened to, then we had Sean Layton, which we talked about already. Go to Como, check that out. Then we had Jeff Koop, who is actually working at Farmer's Apprentice in Kits.
Still there.
Loving it.
The owner's, I think Farmer's Apprentice just went through something different. I think Satoshi just took over the ownership of that. I think the staff there of Farmer's Apprentice just kind of changed ownership. So I think that's, yeah, definitely a really cool thing to see that they're still going to keep that going.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Then we had our next episode, which was Bruce Noah, and he brought his business partner, TJ Conwee, on. And we talked about their whole Chefs in the Hood event. And it was great hearing about their journey to doing this event. And we're looking forward to being involved with the third one coming up. Then more Jamie and Mickey, boring ass shit. Then we had Jaden Paul on. Of Hawksworth.
Sommelier.
Who I felt like a fish out of water, but he had a fucking amazing knowledge base. He's done great things moving in with his education with wine. He had a great Johnny Depp story, which was amazing at the end. So if you haven't checked that episode, check that out. Then we had the regal Tracy Rams, Tracy Gies Ramsey.
Of Monte Cristo magazine now.
Of Monte Cristo magazine. And that's kind of where we veered into more sort of serious, intellectual. I don't want to say intellectual, but those episodes were a little bit more serious, followed by the lovely people at Mind the Bar. We had Mackenzie Chilton and Sheryl Davidson on, and that was the end of the year, capping off our year. Again, more mental
health
stuff.
Those guys have really taken off.
They have, and that's amazing.
That whole thing with, you know, mental health. I wrote a column about it recently, talking about the idea of like nutrition and mental health and how they can be interplayed. But like what they're doing for the community and what they're trying to achieve and how they're trying to expand and give people a lot of help and aid and resources, I think is fantastic. And I couldn't be more proud to have had those people on. I think
absolutely.
I think what they're doing out there is fantastic and really, really commendable.
So thank you so much for you guys coming
and
on.
And Alex Black as well.
And Alex Black as well, yeah. Speaking of beauties. Then we had Andrew Morrison of Scout Magazine. Shout out to Andrew. Thank you so much for putting me on your website.
Yeah, Mickey just got shouted out on Definitive Records on Scout Magazine.
You want to know the records that shaped my musical tastes.
They're weird as shit.
And you should check them out.
And they're old. They really show how old you are.
Yeah.
You pick nothing 40, from the last 20 years.
No.
You pick 80s and 90s.
Well, it's a formative time in my youth when I was in high school, right? So that's what I think of when if someone's going
to
ask
me. Did you even listen
me,
to Bjork Post?
I've listened to it fucking every week.
No, you still?
Every week.
Really?
Yes. You're fucked.
No, but there's get so much new music out there. Like, it's funny that you still listen to it often. I get how
I find it very relevant in the modern
it.
Music.
I love Siamese Dream. Still the most relevant album of my lifetime, but I don't listen to every like week.
Well, fair enough. And that was great. Thank you. Andrew was super well-spoken and intellectual and thought out. And I learned a lot from him just being on our show. Then we had the white whale, the legend.
Oh, Grant Sini.
The Australian-Canadian Grant Sini. which is fantastic, getting more into cocktail stuff and his kind of journey.
Do you think cocktail culture is kind of dead?
Well, like we were talking about before, everything is cyclical, right?
I don't think it's dead, but I think it's kind of like hit its it's peaked.
Well, then it's going to phoenix and it will rebirth in some weird different.
Because I think what's happening is every bar is caught up.
Right.
It's kind of like the idea of like 1992 when the Dream Team goes and plays in the Olympics and they're like, holy shit, every other country in the world is like, holy fuck, all these really great players are playing with us.
Right.
But eventually, everyone starts to catch up to them. And then that's what happens in 2004, they lose to Argentina.
Our global community.
I think what now is like you can go to pretty much most bars in the city and get like a decent old fashioned and a decent Negroni. Like you're not going to walk into a bar now and see, if you order a Negroni at any bar in the city, most bartenders aren't going to be like, oh.
Yeah, what's a Negroni?
Yeah, like they...
Tell me the ingredients.
But I mean, like 20 years ago, that would have been like a foreign thing. So I wouldn't say it's peaked, but I think it's interesting to kind of see where, like, if we've really come a long way. But it's just, I wonder how much further they can push it.
You're talking about in North America or like in the world?
Vancouver, North America. I'm really curious to see where it's going to go moving forward. The one thing I'm predicting, I'm just going to throw that out there right now. Yeah. I think you're going to start seeing a lot more blended drinks at bars.
That's just your personal preference.
No. Well, I mean, yeah, I love pina coladas. And if I saw one at every bar, I'd be pretty stoked. But I think you're going to see a lot more blending going on.
Well, if you're looking for a blended drink, June 23rd of this month, which is obviously June, come get a blue margarita at Mammy Taylor's because I'm DJing at their second tiki party this year. So you can come there and get a blue margarita. Interesting prediction. We'll see. Well, we'll try to get in a year and see if your prediction. You see some more blended drinks.
We'll do it on that.
I don't know, as a bartender, I don't want to work a blender.
We'll do another recap on episode 50.
And then we had of Daichi.
Dachi.
Then we had of Dachi, Chef Dan Williams, which is great.
Who also writes for Midrange.
Who writes for Midrange as well. And quickly becoming one of our most listened to episodes. So thank you, Dan. That was amazing.
Yeah, he's in the top three now.
Then we had Pedro from 05 Rare Tea Bar, my second guest, rounding up my 10% of guests I booked the show. And that was an amazing episode for me, having him come in and tell his story. And you know, what a renaissance man, and just super well-spoken and super interesting. And that was super fun. Then we had Ron again. We'll have Ron on many times, I'm sure. And Mike Schramm talking about our lists episode. So Canada's Top 100, Van Meg, and Golden Plates. Then we had Curtis Colt. Shoutouts, Curtis, of Top Drop.
That was a pretty big one.
And of the Georgia Strait. Man, again, like I've said before in this episode, I just take what the guests' opinions are and I make them my own. It's beautiful. And I sound intelligent.
Do you?
I think so. Kind of, sort of. And then obviously that brings us to last episode. Sam, thanks for coming on. Parkside Brewing, represent. The fucking Jazz Hands is the best lime salt infused beer in the city, I think. It's better than Daggerad's Brightside. And I had thought Daggerad's Brightside was the best citrus based ale in Vancouver, but it's not. It's actually Jazz Hands because it's just way more balanced and so much more flavorful. Delicious stuff.
You think it's just more balanced between the two?
Yeah, more balanced. Yeah. Well, you get that three-tiered. You get that lime up front, and then you get the sort of malts from the ale, and then the finish is salty and like kind of smacky and savory. It's really nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, the branding is amazing. And that brings us to right now, to current times. So thank you, Jamie, for coming on this episode.
Pretty good. Okay. Well, we hope you've stayed with us as long as you have for this episode. This has been kind of
it's like beats on repeat territory here. Yeah,
this has been good. We're excited for moving forward. Check out midrangevancouver.com. The podcast has been great. We've got some pretty big people coming up soon that we're very excited to bring on. We thank you for all your support and listening.
Part of the reason we're doing this content site is to connect with like-minded people. So if you're listening to the show and you are a photographer or you're an artist or write or you, do any other form of stuff, if you're a musician, you want to get involved with our project and what we're doing, feel free to contact us. We're looking for, always looking for content and always looking for...
Well, video is where we're going next.
Video is where we're going, where the next...
Make you scared about video.
I'm not going to be on any video, but you guys can be on video. Just get a hold of us at midrangevancouver@gmail.com or contact myself or Jamie personally. And, we want to, like we said, create an involvement in community.
Why are you scared of video?
I don't want to do video.
Why not?
I'm already like on a fucking like, I'm already like going way outside my comfort zone actually doing a podcast. So baby steps, man.
I've got some big ideas for video.
Okay.
That's going to be good. Anyways, do check us out as always on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify as well as Luminary. Luminary is the paid platform now.
Fuck Spotify.
You can get some really cool stuff there as well. Find us on midrangevancouver.com. Check us on our IG posts, either at Track and Food, or you can check and find us on at midrangeYVR. Mickey, this has been good. 30 episodes in. I didn't think we'd last this long, but it's been a really fun experience. And yeah, maybe one day we'll be like Ryan and Bill. We'll just have some good stuff to talk about all the time.
So as at this part of the show, our intellectual classical music sting comes in. So I would just like to like keep talking over it because it's really, really interesting. And then the typewriter sound comes in. Oh, it's just great.
You're paying for the wine next time, by the way.
I'm paying for the wine next time. I'm so sorry. I'll never live that down. I'll get a nicer bottle. What, $40? I'll get a $50 bottle.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much and have a good day.